Andrew Carnegie had a personal bagpipe player on his payroll, and the university that bears his name shows its Scottish roots through its signature green and red tartan plaid and Scotty Dog mascot. 90.5 WESA's Mark Newtbar spoke with one current Carnegie Mellon University employee who's holding up that Scottish heritage in a program that's surprisingly young.
Tucked deep into the bowels of CMU's University Center is a small room packed with bagpipes and drums. It's where Andrew Carlisle has had his office for the last 10 years. He's the director of the undergraduate piping degree program. It's a post without a long tradition, but it does have a unique distinction.
It's the first place in the world to recognize the bagpipe as a legitimate instrument that you could study academically, basically. And it was started in 1990, the degree here, by the bagpipe instructor here at the time, a guy called Jimmy McIntosh, and he came from Scotland. And how it came about really was the principal oboe in the Pittsburgh Symphony was the oboe professor in the School of Music here as well. And he started getting intrigued with the bagpipe and started to take lessons, and he figured out that the bagpipe was a lot more difficult to learn than the oboe and a lot more challenging. So he proposed to the faculty that they should take on the bagpipe because they already had a pipe band here at Carnegie Mellon.
This is not a new instrument. Why 1990 before it got that type of respect?
I'm not too sure. I think it's perceived mainly as a folk instrument or a traditional Celtic instrument. And I think the academic side of music has traditionally been classical music, so it didn't really fall into that category. So it kind of was maybe looked aside, but there's lots of degrees in ethnomusicology and kind of folk studies and all that kind of stuff nowadays. So I think the repertoire, if you like, for instruments is expanding, you know. And yeah, so it was 1990 before it came around. Yeah.
How many students do you have?
Well, we have very high standards of entry, and for that reason, we don't have huge numbers in the degree program. There's currently four studying towards a degree in piping. But in total, there's, in some shape or form, there's probably around 60. And that's just right down to like a first year student that like say, hey, that's cool, I want to learn the bagpipes, and like a complete beginner.
When was the first time you picked up pipes?
I was 7 years old. I'm from a small village in Ireland, not far from Belfast City, called Ballygowan. And I think when I was three or four, I just heard a local pipe band playing in a parade, and I really liked it. And yeah, started taking lessons when I was young, when 7 years old. Yeah,
I've been told that the bagpipes are the world's oldest practical joke, that it's not really an instrument.
I think the old joke we have is that the Irish give the bagpipes to the Scots as a joke, and they still haven't got it yet.
But you know, how do you feel making that a profession?
No, it's great. I mean, if you're you can have earn a living for doing something that you love, then it's fantastic.
What's in your future?
I travel extensively in the summer, promoting the bagpipe major at Carnegie Mellon and all of that. I still actively compete. I play for the current world champion pipe band, Field Marshal Montgomery, and I still compete solo and perform and do TV shows and whatnot, whatever kind of I'm kind of faced with kind of thing, you know.
It seems like we hear the same songs, though, at those types of events. Do you ever get tired of that?
Well, if I had a dollar for every time I've had to play Amazing Grace, I would be a billionaire by now, I think. But, I mean, I think it's just a matter of, like, people associate certain songs, Amazing Grace, Scotland the Brave, with the bagpipe. I think when people hear the pipes play in Amazing Grace, they kind of remember, you know, a loved one and a piper was at the funeral or that kind of thing. So it can be quite a moving instrument as well.